Good morning and welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Would you, if you had your choice, would you rather live to be 60 years of age and die of natural causes, and in at the end of your life you have degeneration of your spine, your hips are very arthritic, you can barely move because of your knees, you can't really process information because the brain's not working so well, and you know you have all those symptoms of age-related eye problems such as cataracts, poor vision, macular degeneration? Well, no, nobody wants that. But you have a choice. You really do. And so I like talking about things that we know have been proven to extend the quality of a person's life. Just like the gentleman said a while ago on the radio. If you have enough strength about you to help lead someone to Christ, you got some pretty beautiful feet there, don't you? I came across this article, and I like reading things that I have never studied before, and I have a feeling even if I do a little bit every day for the rest of my life, I can learn something new every day, and so can you. There is a organ in the body, or organs, called the kidneys. There's another one called the brain. Everybody knows what those are. The brain is incredible what it does, but did you know that there is a hormone that both the brain and the kidneys, they produce, and they secrete it? It's called Clotho, or Clotho. It's spelled K-L-O-T-H-O. And so they've shown that when the kidneys and the brain produce more Clotho, it tends to delay aging, it lengthens the quality of your life, or your life expectancy goes up. It reduces the chance of age-related diseases and cardiovascular disease. It keeps your muscles strong. This longevity hormone, again, is called Clotho. Psychologists at the University of California in San Francisco discovered that chronic stress reduces the concentration of Clotho in the body. Clotho was discovered in the 1990s by Japanese researchers. And I think this comes from the journal Nature, 1997, November 6th, pages 45 to 51. This is interesting to me right here. The Japanese were able to genetically modify mice so that they could no longer produce this hormone I'm telling you about called Clotho. And they observed that within a few months after birth, they started to develop age-related diseases such as muscle loss or muscle decay. You know what I'm referring to. If you look at an older person that's just kind of barely shuffling along in the grocery store trying to get some groceries or food to eat, you can kind of look at them and you can tell that if they're rail thin, that they have lost an incredible amount of muscle mass. And that's usually what they do with mice and rats, is they just look at the loss of muscle mass. Pretty good indication there's some muscle decay going on. What if these genetically modified mice also, they had osteoporosis, which means you're losing bone at a faster rate than what you can replace it. The bones become porous. They also noticed that when they removed the Clotho from these mice, they had hardening of the arteries. That is not what you want to have a great life, is to have arteries that are clogged up and full of debris. They also, believe it or not, developed emphysema. This had nothing to do with the mice smoking cigarettes or cigars. Which, basically, all these things caused the mice to die very prematurely, so these findings led the Japanese to suspect that Clotho was an anti-aging hormone. Now, of course, I'm not telling you I know how it works. I'm starting to study it, or it's fun to study this. But I'm going to give you some details this morning. In the year 2005, molecular biologists at the University of Texas, they published the results of an animal study that was published in Science 2005, which confirmed the Japanese suspicions. The Texans modified mice genetically in two ways, so that they were able to actually produce more amounts of Clotho. And so they noticed that they lived about 20 to 30% longer than ordinary mice. So that's interesting. So epidemiological studies suggest that Clotho has the same effects in humans. And so there was a study, it comes from Well, it says it's the Italian Chianti study. And when they measured more clotho, that indicated more strength in their hands. And that's what they did, was they used a grip dynamometer. And so as you age, the stronger your grip strength, the better things are going to go for you. Which, what's the opposite of that? The weaker that your grip strength is, the worse things are going to go for you. But they also noticed that when there was a higher amount of clotho in men and women that were over the age of 65, their legs were stronger. And what they did was they measured clotho from a blood laboratory specimen sample. So I don't know that I've ever seen one lab test where clotho was measured. So I know this was done like in a research university, probably a hospital. In addition, a high clotho level reduced the chance of cardiovascular disease. This comes from the Journal of American Geriatric Society, 2011. And they also noticed that forgetfulness starts to go away when there's more clotho. That comes from the Journal of Gerontology. that was published in the European Union. Elderly people with relatively high levels of clotho in their blood, they also functioned better, and they needed a lot less help as they were aging. I like that one, too. In the Chianti study, the elderly with relatively high amounts of clotho in their blood, they lived longer than those that had low levels of clotho. So let me review the information. When you have more clotho, what you have is, one, you have more hand strength, two, more leg strength, three, you have a lot less cardiovascular disease. Number four, you greatly decrease mental aging, which there's nobody that wants to become forgetful. So that's number five. It decreases forgetfulness. Number six, you function better as you age. That's a win for everyone. Number seven, you need less help as you get older. And number eight, you live longer. And so one thing that I came across, though, to me, this is interesting. What they're doing is they're looking at the relationship between clotho and stress. And so the amount of clotho that you manufacture depends not only on your genetic code or your genes, but also on your lifestyle. And they say that high levels of stress on a daily basis will push your clotho level right down, for example, according to an article published in the summer of 2015 by psychologists at the University of California. But then again, I know you've heard this before, that the more stress you have, the more problems you have. Is that right? So it really does do us well to be able to, forget the things from the past, things you can't change. Not allow your mind to think about things that are just unproductive. And so what they did in this one study, they said that researchers compared the clotho levels of 90 mothers who cared for a child with autism, and that would be relatively high stress, compared to 88 mothers that had a normal child. That would be low stress. And I'm looking on the chart, it's just incredible. Moms that have autistic children, they tend to have the lowest levels of clotho as compared to mothers that have normal children. Of course, I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad, but it just goes to show you that whatever we have to do to help your body manage stress, and for some people, supporting those glands and tissues of the body, like the adrenal glands or the hypothalamus and the thyroid, and for a woman, her ovaries, so they have more optimal production of female hormones. That's always a good thing to do, because if you can keep them in good working order under high stress, the chances of them breaking down are a lot less. See, all this is a really, really good reason to me to try to keep the kidneys in good working order and to try to keep your brain healthy. Because if you can do that, well, maybe there will be a lot less need for surgeries and medication, which, do you really want to have surgeries? No, nobody does. It's only the last option. And so if you keep your body in better working order, then there's going to be less aging. Now, let me share this with you. This is article number two. And I like this one because it's just so easy. So along the lines in the topic of having greater health as we age and longevity, Do you kind of get the idea that if cells do not age super, super rapidly, then you tend to experience greater levels of health and productivity as you age? So, I don't know how you feel about this, but would you like to be more productive as you age as compared to being less productive? Or maybe you're not able to move like you'd like to. You don't want to have a loss of strength, you just don't. Okay. The title of this article is Drinking 3 Cups of Tea a Day Add 5 Years to Your Life. You get that? 3 cups of tea adds 5 years to your life. Let me read this to you. It says that drinking tea makes your biological clock tick more slowly. That means you don't age as fast. I like that. That is why the molecular age of men over 65 who drink tea is 5 years younger than you expect. This is according to researchers from the Chinese University in the British Journal of Nutrition. Here's a study right here. The researchers examined DNA from 1,000 older women and 1,000 older men. They measured the length of the telomeres in the genetic material. Telomeres are situated at the very ends of the chromosomes, the DNA building blocks. Of course, there's an illustration here, but you can't see it, so I'll just kind of describe it to you. It's almost like the small plastic covering at the end of your shoestring, or in the shoelaces. So the more often that cells have divided, the less often they can divide again, the shorter the telomeres become. Kind of gives you the idea that you're kind of burning through your reserves of being able to repair and divide. So the shorter the telomeres, that's not what you want. The longer telomeres, those are a sign of longevity. Okay, there is and you know what? To be fair here, there's a large number of studies where not everybody agrees with telomeres being one of the great observations of aging or not. But on the other hand, there's a lot of studies that have been published and done that suggest strongly that the longer the telomeres, it's an indication of longer life. So I'll kind of leave that up to you. But let me read this to you right here. The researchers asked the test subjects detailed questions about their eating habits, from which they discovered that telomere length in women was closely related to their lifestyle. Only women that consumed high amounts of omega-6 fatty acids in the form of peanut oil and corn oil, they had slightly shorter telomeres than women who ate less corn or peanut oil. To me, that sort of suggests that maybe corn oil and peanut oil may not be the very best for you. Does that make sense? Among the men, it was a high intake of tea that resulted in longer telomeres. The data in the table below, which you can't read that, they show that, let me just read it to you right here, because you can't see the chart. Here's the bottom line. The telomeres of the men who drank more than 3 cups of tea a day was significantly longer than those that managed only 1/3 of a cup. So there's our criteria, 3 cups a day versus 1/3 of a cup. Maybe those men that drank 1/3 of a cup were running out the door while their wives made it, and they just took a big gulp to, and then off they went. So they said basically, the difference between the men that drank 3 cups of tea a day versus those that drank 1/3 of a cup, it's a difference of 5 years, according to the researchers. So that, to me, that's pretty significant right here. What was the most popular type of tea that men would drink in the study? It was green tea, number one, in which I think white tea or oolong tea was number two. I don't know what number three was. Maybe it was just plain black tea, like the orange pekoe tea. This is just a side note right here. Researchers also found longer telomeres in those that took multiple vitamins. Okay? Like a multivitamin formula? Does that make sense? They also showed that athletes and also people with higher levels of vitamin D and also people who exercise a lot. I think I covered that already. Maybe you're not, don't consider yourself an athlete. But see, the key is, could you imagine if you lived 200 years ago, you would literally be moving all day long. You wouldn't really have the ability to say, I think I'm going to be on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok all day long and sit on the couch. No. Just trying to get food and shelter and take care of your crops all day long. But to me, the study on drinking tea, that's got to be one of the easiest things that you can possibly do to help improve your health, right? Okay. On the same vein, there was a study published by the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and they go on to say that if you eat relatively large amounts of beans, and the reason why I'm bringing that up, because I get that question all the time, are peas and beans good for you? So, just kind of, let's flesh this out right here. If you eat relatively large amounts of beans, fermented dairy products, so what is a fermented dairy product? Well, it could be something such as yogurt. It could be cheese. What else could it be? Buttermilk. You get it. So also fruit. They also mention coffee, nuts, you know, like almonds, and seaweed. You may live longer than if your diet consists of only small amounts of these foods. This comes from South Korean nutritionist at the Kookmin University, and it's published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And so what they did in the study, the Koreans measured the length of the telomeres. That's what I was referring to earlier. The longer telomeres in men that drank 3 cups of green tea a day was a whole lot longer, and it seemed to add maybe 5 years to their life as compared to men that just drank a third of a cup. And so what they did was, they measured the telomeres in the DNA in the white blood cells of 1,958 people over the age of 40. Telomeres become shorter as we age. That's been proven. The speed at which this shortening takes place gives an indication of the speed at which the aging processes progress. Does that make sense? So the faster they shorten, usually the shorter your life here on this earth. 10 years previously, the participants had told the researchers in great detail all about their diet. Probably was like a pretty exhaustive survey. That meant that the researchers were able to build a picture of the effect of various foods on the and on the pace at which the aging took place. Here's the results right here. The Koreans found a significantly shorter telomeres among the participants who had indicated 10 years earlier that they actually ate relatively large amounts of red meat and processed meat. Now, I wasn't able to look it up, but I feel more confident talking about processed meat just because there's so much research on that. If you don't know if eating processed lunch meat is good for you or not, well, maybe you should look up some studies on that. It's not. They also showed that a high intake of soft drinks was associated with shorter telomeres. And, of course, I've got the chart right in front of me. To me, it looks like sweetened carbonated soft drinks, like, you know what, were the worst things on longevity. They showed that the shortest telomeres are people that drink soft drinks every day. I'm not going to come down hard on a person that drinks a soft drink once a month. I'm not. But if you drink them every day, you're asking for it. You know what number two was? They showed that, and I'm looking at the chart right here. Do you know what ramen noodles are? Oh, I know. I used to buy them and eat them when I was in college. I think I had no money. You know? Remember what they cost back in the early 80s? I think I could buy them for 7 cents each, a package of them. It just makes you wonder, how do they make these things? Of course, you know they're loaded with MSG and chemicals, but you know, when you want something to eat with flavor and you don't have any money, then probably ramen noodles is going to be what you're looking at. I don't even know what they cost now. I need to look that up. But it shows also, like I said earlier, if you want to destroy the telomeres, the very ends of the DNA, and make them shorter and lose their longevity, well, drink soft drinks. But it says noodles and any flour products. What they're talking about is spaghetti noodles or macaroni. It doesn't say it in here, but that would be basically macaroni and cheese. Does that make sense? I can tell you the things that had the greatest longevity. This is pretty straightforward. They show that beans and peas have a pretty strong correlation to longevity. They also show that nuts do. Green and yellow vegetables and mushrooms. They have a very... Actually, mushrooms have a pretty good number right here. If you like to go to salad bars, throw some mushrooms on there. If you like to eat a steak, maybe you should saute some onions and mushrooms on your Blackstone grill with natural propane to heat it. But one of the biggest ones, seaweed. Awesome. Fruit, awesome. Dairy products that have been fermented, that's awesome. Green tea, yeah, and even coffee. It says that among the participants who 10 years before had been on the questionnaire saying that they ate a large amount of fruit, beans, nuts, fermented dairy products, I would have to study if the Koreans eat some type of different fermented dairy product than what we as Americans eat. Seaweed and coffee, their telomeres were much longer. It says the effect of seaweed in particular was noticeably strong, which I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but they've shown that, you can buy seaweed and you can eat it. Some people like the seaweed chips, some people don't. Usually they... flavor it with wasabi. It tastes pretty strong. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. It's 903-586-5257. I think I've had about four people try to call between the start of the program and right now. So if you want to join me on the air and ask a question, please feel free to do so. The number is 903-586-5257. Alrighty, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yes, you were speaking about the amino acid there, but you didn't say, is it one of the seven essentials that your body does not produce? Is it something else, or how do you, where do you get it?
Well, years ago there was a book that was published called The Sardine Solution.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of laugh to myself as I say that because we're not living in the age where sardines rule the day. I don't know if you know this, but when I was a little boy, we used to have a grocery store, just a small country grocery store on Lake Ray Hubbard. And in the back room, we had minnows and bait. So, but I remembered that when I was real young, all the workers, whether they were spray painters or carpenters or home builders, they would come by the store to get their lunch every day. This was before you had fast food restaurants. And that was one of the things that we sold a lot of. It was just cans of sardines.
Uh-huh.
And they would just stay, they would just park on the side parking lot and they would put the tailgate down and they would eat the sardines with mustard and saltine crackers.
I love that.
Probably the lunch cost less than a dollar. And of course the Coca-Colas, they were only 6.5 ounces back then, so they were small. But what I'm getting to is there have been so many studies showing that there's a form of a protein that's found in sardines called RNA. It's actually the highest amount of all time. And when you eat sardines, this probably has the greatest impact on rejuvenation of all the cellular material in the body, which means the body can heal. So you do get all the amino acids and then some when you eat sardines.
Okay.
I don't know that's going to appeal to everybody, but it's very, very effective.
Oh, I like it. I don't have a problem eating that.
Good.
But I know I heard that there is seven essential amino acids that your body don't produce that you have to add to your diet. And I was curious if that was one of them or just...
Well, you get everything that you need when you either eat fish or eggs or chicken or beef.
Okay. Oh, well, again, sounds good. So eggs, yeah. Fish, and what?
Well, I said chicken.
Oh, chicken. Okay.
Eggs tend to be a very, very good source of protein. Actually, one of the reasons I like eggs is every time you eat an egg, there's about 100 to 150 milligrams of what are called immunoglobulins. Uh-huh. So you're literally giving your immune system a huge boost when you eat eggs.
All right. I'm doing good.
Yay. There you go. Good job.
Okay. Well, that was, I just started hearing you and like, well, that didn't, I didn't get the same answer I thought as you when you elaborated on the tea and stuff. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Number next. If you want to join me on the radio, please feel free to call 903-586-5257. All right. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I am calling for a friend, a nurse friend of mine, and I'm just going to ask the question and then hang up and you can talk about it. Her husband's LDL is 200, and he cannot take cholesterol pills and doesn't want to.
Okay.
And so she just wants ideas about supplements she can take or what he can do. He's really not that overweight, and he's like 45.
45,
so,
okay.
Yeah, and he works construction, so he's active. He really
yes,
doesn't
yes,
have
he
any
is
other
active.
Problems.
He's probably yeah. stronger than the average 45-year-old man, too, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be glad to cover it then.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, this morning when I got up, I had an article that I'd laid out that I've been wanting to read. There were three parts to it, and I almost made it through the third part, but not quite before I had to leave and head to the radio station. But it was all about the experiments on ribonucleic acid, or RNA. And so they were showing that as a human being ages, cholesterol tends to go up as a general rule. And, of course, you always ask the question, does lowering cholesterol with the use of a drug, does that change anything at all as far as removing plaque or debris from the arteries? And, I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. If you just typed in, does taking a statin drug lower cholesterol, does it lower plaque buildup in the arteries? That's really the metric that I'm talking about right now. And the answer is no, it doesn't. I mean, you have to give really, really, really high doses for a long period of time at great cost with side effects just to even have less than a 1% improvement. So no, that doesn't work at all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down a different road here, and I'm going to tell you two or three things that I want you to think about. Number one, as a person's health internally improves, meaning their cells work better, they're healthier, that's when cholesterol tends to come down just a little bit. So if the low-density lipoprotein is 200, that's a pretty good sign right there that something is not working right inside the person's body and they're in need of healing or repair. This is even if the person doesn't feel bad, let's just say they feel great but the cholesterol is high, that's still a harbinger that there may be something that needs to be improved upon, and so that's what I want to focus on. How do we get the human body to function better and to lower cholesterol because there's no need for it? So cholesterol always goes up with sugar consumption, almost always. And so if a person consumes a lot of sugar, they're asking for their body to generate more and more cholesterol. Now, by its very nature, sugar is called an empty calorie. That means it doesn't provide you anything that's essential for its metabolism or its how the body is able to utilize it for energy production. So when you consume white refined sugar, it's going to steal all your nutrients from other parts of the body just so it can be processed. That's not a good trait. And so as a general rule, you don't have this problem when you eat stuff like blueberries or strawberries or cherries, or if you ate an apple a day. So if you can just simply switch refined sugar for the type of sugar that's bound to fiber in the form of fruit, it's going to be a much, much better way to go. Okay. One of the studies that I looked up, I just kind of stumbled across it. There was a gentleman that came to my office. This was months ago. And he had this very unusual skin condition. So I said, do you mind if I just get my computer out? Let's just start looking at pictures. And I typed in several skin conditions. We finally found one that looked identical to his. And these pictures came from a doctor in Nigeria. And I said, this is interesting. I said, do you mind if I click on this? He says, no. Well, you know, we're just trying to research it and figure it out. And so this doctor was treating all these men in Nigeria with a skin condition, but he noticed also at the same time that their LDL cholesterol was very high. It was above 200. So I'm not saying it's the same deal as what the construction worker has, but it made me interested. All these men had been given statin drugs to lower cholesterol, and I think all of them, they couldn't tolerate it. Of course, I don't know if you know this or not, but not every human being out there just tolerates drugs perfectly. Some people, the side effects are so horrific and so bad, it's just not even worth it to even take them. They're worse than what they were before they took them, so they can't. And so what this man did was he kept digging and looking, and he noticed that there was a there is a protein that your liver and some of the other cells in the body produce. It's called ferritin. I think that's spelled F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N, ferritin. This is super duper easy for every physician to order, or nurse practitioner, or physician's assistant, or nurse. Anybody can order this lab test. And so the ferritin level on all these men that had the skin condition that had the high cholesterol was well above 200. And so this Nigerian doctor, he came up with a plan. He said, okay, all these men can't tolerate cholesterol-lowering drugs. They all have this skin condition where they've got, well, I'm not going to describe it in detail, but it looked like scabs and dry crustiness all over the skin. But anyway, they were all taking blood pressure-lowering drugs to lower, you know, a person's blood pressure at the same time. So those are the three factors: skin condition, high LDL, low density lipoprotein, and high blood pressure. And so he said, okay, this is interesting. They all have high ferritin. What do I do here? So what he did was he talked the men, or suggested they should just donate blood. Simple as that. And I believe it was after either four blood donations, but every time that they would donate blood, this Nigerian doctor would come back and he would measure their LDL cholesterol. And guess what? So maybe the first time, I don't have the study in front of me, so you know, you got to cut me some slack. I'm going to try to tell as accurately as I read it. So the first time they donated blood, guess what happened? Their blood pressure lowered. They still needed the medication, but it lowered enough to where they could notice a statistical difference. Guess what happened to the LDL, or the low-density lipoprotein? Well, that lowered also, as well as ferritin. And so what he did is he did it a second and a third and a fourth time. And I think by the fourth time that they donated blood, there was no longer in these men any need for blood pressure-lowering drugs. Now, to me, that is very interesting. And so let me tell you, the LDL cholesterol, this is literally the biggest honking sponge that you have in your bloodstream, which means God designed it for a reason. It's there to soak up poisons or toxic material that otherwise could harm and damage the individual. So if this gentleman has an LDL that's 200 milligrams, well, it's because he's got poison in his blood and is trying to elevate to soak it up. And so if you get rid of the old rusted iron, that's really what ferritin is. It's a protein that tries to trap and bind and hang on to any unbound iron that's starting to oxidize. That's called rust. That's bad for the human body. The more that you have rust in your blood, the higher your cholesterol is going to go every single time. Hey, look the study up for yourself. Tell me what you think. But after four blood donations, the LDL was in the normal range again. And this is all without drugs. There was no surgery, no chemo, no radiation. It just naturally lowered on its own. It's almost like we addressed the root cause of the problem. And so for this gentleman, go start giving blood. Please. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question. You're talking about HDL and,
yes, ma'am, and
cholesterol. I have a 13-year-old granddaughter that has high triglycerides.
Is she under a boatload of stress?
I don't know that it would be. I don't know, not that I'm aware of. I mean, she's.
Well, if I asked you your guess about your granddaughter, why would you say that her triglycerides would be high? And what number are we talking about?
I can't figure out why they're high. They're 138.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a suggestion. It's probably what she's eating.
Okay.
Or the other factor is she may not be moving her body enough. Does she like to go outside and run and play all day?
No, but she's really thin. I mean, she's thin. She doesn't like to...
Oh, yeah, so she's not really overweight, right?
Mm-mm. No, she's not overweight at all. Her HDL was 64 and her LDL was 27.
LDL was 27 or 127?
Oh, maybe it was 127. I didn't...
Sorry, I'm not trying to insert words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I may have wrote... I took a picture of it on the paper, and I may have misread.
Well, you
it.
Know what the word tri means, T-R-I. It refers to the numeral 3. And glycerides, it means it has 3 glycerol molecules. That's basically 3 molecules of sugar. So your body converts sugar into fat, thus the higher triglycerides. Well, I mean, I can just tell you simply what I'd look at.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably eating, you know that study that I just read from South Korea? They showed the two most harmful things were going to be soft drinks than eating noodles or pasta.
Mm-hmm.
So, usually if you can focus on meat and vegetables and fruits, and if you focus more on whole grains like the whole unprocessed oatmeal, that's like a whole lot better for the human body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she does like pasta, spaghetti noodles. I mean, she'll eat like spaghetti noodles with only sauce, no meat.
Well, and I would do my best to transition out of that. So if she likes spaghetti noodles, I wonder if she would eat spaghetti squash instead.
That's an idea.
Well, it's just an idea.
Yeah.
And then if you could just get a child to develop a great love for the outdoors. Do you live anywhere close to her?
Well, no, I live in... No, not okay. really. Yeah.
So it's not like you can go over the house and say, let's just go for an adventure today.
Yeah.
And you walk through the woods for like 15 miles.
Right. No. And she really doesn't like to walk or do anything outdoors. And she's scared, paranoid of bugs. So we have an issue with outdoors.
So the idea of going outdoors on a long hike through the forest and the swamp and the marshes to get to the pond to go fishing doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, right?
No, she's not on board with that at all.
Even if you have a nice clean blanket to lay out for your picnic, she's still going to be looking for bugs, right?
Oh, yes. And she spots those little spiders. And I'm like, I don't see a spider. And then I have to get real close. And then, there is a spider.
She's probably talking about a saber-toothed tarantula from the prehistoric times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the tiniest speck of spider I've ever seen, and she can spot it.
Well, and this is the difference between modern lifestyles versus lifestyles of 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what television show it was. It was in black and white, so it was probably back in the 40s. But you know what the kids were doing to play? They had a steel ring from a barrel, or it looked like the rim of a bicycle, and all they were all doing is running up and down the street with a stick, pushing the ring to keep it upright.
Right.
So that was their fun.
Yeah. I mean, these kids just don't go outdoors as much as they used to.
Well, the triglycerides would be low if they went outside and played.
Okay, well, we just got to work and focus on getting her more active.
Can I tell you the other thing that I would at least look at doing? Mm-hmm. One of the oldest superfoods of all time is called cod liver oil.
Okay.
And so, and you're going to have to forgive me the way that I'm saying this. Sometimes I'm not that eloquent or technically advanced, but do you know what the word psychosis means? Or if somebody has like an irrational fear of things?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so don't just take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done studies and they've shown that when you give cod liver oil to people, the psychoses just go away.
Oh, cool.
Now, I'm not telling you that I completely understand every aspect of it, but let's just say it this way. Mm-hmm. Cod liver oil has a higher concentration of what are called omega-3 fatty acids. And if it's good cod liver oil, it's also going to have a rare amount of vitamin A and vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And this one study that I read recently, which, you know, I could probably make a joke of anything, but I'm not trying to make a joke about this, but I thought to myself, I wonder how many Americans would not require psychotropic medications for either anxiety or paranoia or depression or, and you could just keep going and going. You could probably say bipolar and schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. If they just got a healthy amount of omega-3 fatty acids to keep the inflammation out of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, there's a cooking spice, a spice that's used to flavor foods called saffron.
Mm-hmm.
That the research on saffron, I'm telling you, that impresses me big time.
Okay.
And so it may be that if the little girl can just start consuming cod liver oil and saffron, and then her, if her body was healthier, I bet you a lot of this stuff would just disappear and go away.
Okay.
And so basically, just these few changes. I mean, right now, if she could get out in the sunshine and find a way to play every day,
yes,
her body would become healthier, and then her mind would become healthier.
Yes.
It really would.
Yes. Yes, that's a good idea. I mean, we got, but, you know, my daughter bought her nuts because they said nuts will help, you know, but, and she doesn't really care for nuts, but she was eating those, a package of snacks that had nuts and cranberries and raisins in it or something, and she ate them because she had a doctor's appointment, and they talked on about it, I'm sure, because she came home after school and started eating on those snacks, on that snack.
Well,
so.
I really, really appreciate what you're telling me, and can I just make one more side point? I've been really blessed to have been able to work for the last 34 years doing this. I mean, not everybody gets a job that they love, but I'm just so thankful to God, and I love what I love the challenges. So I always think, what happens if you don't have a job that really challenges you and pushes you? It's just probably not going to go well, but we need those things. But I've seen this over and over again when I ask a person, what do they eat? And I would say individuals that tell me that that's really all they like to eat is just noodles with tomato sauce, and they don't like spices, which means they're not going to eat anything really hot or full of lots of seasoning. But I've always noticed that it's really, really hard for them to be a real decisive person, meaning they tend to just stay in with a routine. They don't change much at all, and they tend to be more down or morose or depressed. I'm not saying that about your granddaughter, but I'm just thinking about other people that have told me the same thing as adults. So I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
She likes being alone. I mean, she'll read. She loves reading, so she's content being in her room reading or playing a game on her phone or whatever, but she does love to read, and so we're concerned that she doesn't, you know, really on her own try to do anything.
Well, the new rule starting today is she can play on her phone all she wants out in the bright, bright, overwhelmingly bright sunlight.
She
won't be able to see the screen and she'll put it down. But if she can read as much as she wants outside in the sun.
There you go. Okay, well, yeah, it was just surprising to me because she looks healthy overall.
Yes.
Because she's not overweight, and I always compare something like that to overweight.
Tell me, I know, I get you on that, and I think that's a good observation, but tell me again, how old is she?
13.
13, okay. Well, if mom and dad can just use their authority to say, let's go for a hike, or let's go for a walk. And it may be the walk has to be a pretty safe one, like just down a country road or something where there's, well, there's always going to be bugs everywhere, aren't there?
Yes, yeah. I mean, they live where there's a walking trail and it's concrete path, you know, so they do take her from time to time. They go out and do that, but it's, you know, it's just, we just got to keep working on it. But I do like the idea, the recommendation of the cod liver oil. I'll try to sneak that in.
Absolutely. And if we could get in the habit of maybe doing that every single day, then who knows what will happen. You may see such a good change where the daughter says, Mom, I think I want to go outside.
Yeah.
And she looks and goes, who are you?
Right, right.
No, I'm only joking.
Yeah, it's funny because they're twins, and one is very active, more so than she is. She's willing to do anything, and she just likes to stay in and do.
You know what? Just as another note, I know I keep adding to the conversation, mm-hmm. but all the people that work outdoors all day long, they're like mm-hmm. the most calm, chill, happy people on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they have so much common sense, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Did your mother let you stay inside and watch TV all day long growing up? No.
No, we were not able to do that.
No, neither was I.
Yeah, that's what my husband always talking about that, you know. We're like, we were outside as long as it was daylight and into the night sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as we sit around that light.
Are you kidding me? That's my childhood. Get outside and make up your own fun.
So we need to it's sad that these parents just aren't letting their kids outside as much as they need to be, especially, you know, for sure.
Well, that's the parents' job, is to take the kids outside and kick the ball around or frisbee or something.
I mean
you could make up 1,000 games. You could run, you can make your own racetrack, and you could time it and see how fast you can run it.
but frisbees are good. Maybe I'll try to buy, you know, things like that that might.
No, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but where your granddaughter lives, the circus train just jumped over, and there's a pack of wild hyenas running through those park trails looking for little girls to eat. So that might make them move faster.
Oh, that definitely. I mean, she'll move fast if she sees a bug, I tell you.
And of course, the bug is making a beeline for her, right?
Always. They're always coming after her.
So,
okay, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, we really appreciate all you do.
Oh, well, you're so kind. Thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there could be a pack of wild grasshoppers or crickets. Excuse me. There is no telling how many mice and rats I grabbed when I found them as a kid. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I appreciate you, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I want to ask you a question. I tend to have bronchitis in the wintertime, and I want to know what to do to help my lungs to, I think I know what you're going to say, walk out in the fresh air.
You don't even need me, do you?
Mm-mm.
If you took cod liver oil every day?
No, I don't.
Well, if you took cod liver oil, that's been shown to make the lungs stronger.
Okay.
And
how much? A tablespoon, or
you betcha. Or if they have the gelatin capsules, that way they seal out the oxygen, and that tends to preserve it from oxidation. But the other thing is, this is an easy one. An apple a day has been shown to greatly improve the lungs.
I'll be.
Did you know that there is a flavonoid called quercetin that's found in the skin of apples?
I've heard of quercetin.
Yeah, it's usually very positive when it comes to helping your body treat infections and things like that. So between apples, and the biggest source is going to be onions. And so if you just made it a goal to eat onions every day and an apple a day, your lungs would be healthier.
All right, remember, and this thought came to me the other day, and I'm not kidding. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
That's a genius statement. Let me write that down real quick. An apple? Okay, and here's
that's old.
Let me tell you what the hard truth is. The strength of your body is going to dictate the strength of your lungs.
Okay.
And so what they do is they have a device that's called a pull-up bar. It doesn't have to be a pull-up bar. It could be a clothesline. It could be, you know, a metal pipe hanging from a rafter in a shed or a barn. But they've shown that when people can't hang very long, they've got the weakest lungs of all time. And so anything that improves the strength of your grip, where you could hang on, they've shown it's just phenomenal for the lungs. And then the other thing is just breathing exercises. If you
That's
went
what
to YouTube,
tell me.
Well, they're 100% correct. If you would try the deep breathing exercises where you inhale deeply for 4 seconds, and then you hold that inhalation for an additional 4 seconds, and then blow out slowly for 4 seconds, and then hold that for 4 seconds, if you would do that over and over again, your lungs and your diaphragm would become stronger. And the lungs, they would clean themselves of the debris that would lead to either upper respiratory tract infections or bronchitis, all that stuff.
Hmm.
And so if you took cod liver oil every day, if I could trick you into considering liver and onions once a week, that would give
you... Oh, I love liver and onions.
Oh, my goodness. This is working out great today. I don't even have to trick you into doing it, do I? So if you did that, you would be in a much better shape. As a woman, your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on your physical strength. So, yeah, I want to trick you into going outside and walking today.
Okay.
It is absolutely gorgeous outside right now.
It is. I'll go to Rose Redmond and walk.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you what I saw. Well, you would believe me, but it was the most incredible thing. The moon was right on the edge of the, before the sun came up, but it was huge. It was just like a little sliver of a thumbnail. And I thought to myself, that is incredible. It's like I'm in a movie where you're on a foreign, like on a, you know, a planet in the universe other than Earth, and you see all these moons. And I'm going, this is like I'm in a movie. It's incredible.
I wish I would have seen that. I live in a big apartment complex, and so much of the sky you can't see.
Yeah, because of the other apartments, right?
Yeah, I really miss the stars, looking at the stars.
Are you against going outside and walking at the park today?
No.
I think if you do that, your lungs are going to say thank you. And you know, the other technique is just holding your breath. So you take a deep breath, and you walk for a ways between breaths. And that strengthens the lungs. Okay?
Okay.
And then the other thing is mucus-forming foods tend to lead to bronchitis. So lots of milkshakes and ice cream, probably not the best plan if you've got bronchitis. Okay. I usually try to cut out dairy products with bronchitis and lung problems.
Yeah, and colds. Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
I do that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Alrighty, that sounds really, really good.
Okay. I hope that helps a whole lot.
Thank you. I think it will. You have a blessed day.
You're welcome. I appreciate you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Maybe just one additional add-on. Your lungs are these big hollow organs, right? Well, so is your digestive tract or your gut. They're hollow spaces, or at least potential hollow spaces, right? So there's always going to be a relationship between the strength of the intestines or your bowels or your gut. Maybe I should just say the gut. So there's always a connection between your lung health and your gut health. And so if you improve one, you always improve the other. So if you have continual lung problems, well, then try to make it easy on yourself. Improve your gut. How can you do that? You can start eating kimchi or sauerkraut, the raw stuff, every single day. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. I got a couple of questions for you.
Yes, sir.
You stated the other day that to help with ingrown toenails, to take magnesium and cod liver oil.
Yes.
What percentage or milligrams of cod liver oil should you have a day?
Can I tell you what I take every day?
What's that?
And, of course, this is just proven, you know, you got to be willing to trial and error and experiment. I take 6 gel caps a day, so that's 6,000 milligrams of cod liver oil. But I'm just telling you what works best for me.
Okay, what would you suggest if you had a sensitive stomach to taking a lot of pills like that?
Well, If you take the cod, well, I always take mine on an empty stomach. It doesn't ever bother me at all, but I respect where you're coming from. I think if you have a sensitive stomach, I'm going to try to talk you into eating a couple of forkfuls of raw sauerkraut or kimchi every day. That stuff, over time, will change your stomach to where your stomach becomes stronger and hardier. It'll recondition it, or it'll help transform it to where it works better, and you have fewer and fewer problems.
Raw sauerkraut.
Yeah. So if you go to either the health food store, we have one here in Jacksonville called Breaking Bread. You got plenty. I don't know where you live. Do you live in Tyler?
Or at Tyler area.
Okay. So you got Drug Emporium, Natural Grocer, Whole Health, Sprouts, and there's probably other ones. If I don't mention everybody, please forgive me. The Granary. But if you go there, they'll have this stuff in the refrigerator department. Now, I can tell you my preference. Kimchi, which is kind of a, it's a form of sauerkraut that's made, it's like a Korean-style sauerkraut. It's made of a substance called Napa cabbage, but it looks like it's got tomato paste in it. It's not. It's chili, like chili powder. But the stuff is really, really potent. And so I think if you want to really improve the overall health of your gut, the kimchi would be a good choice. And it may just be as simple as eating 1 to 2 forkfuls before you go to bed, or as a small side, as a condiment with your meal.
Okay. All right. One other question.
Yes, sir.
How much turmeric should you have a day?
Well, if you're prone to kidney stones, that's probably one thing you should avoid.
Well, actually, this is for a 23-year-old woman.
Okay. Well, then what you do is you're going to have it that comes standardized or non-standardized in a capsule form or a tablet form. If you look on the label of the turmeric and it says it's standardized to contain 95% curcuminoids, as long as it says standardized, just take what the manufacturer recommends, and you're probably going to be generally really, really spot on or good.
Okay. I think it's in a probiotic she takes, I believe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And actually, if you look at turmeric, it looks kind of like ginger does. It looks like a gnarly root. So both of those are really, really good for the entire body.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's got me headed one. Want me to go, so.
Okay. Well, thanks a bunch for your phone call, and you have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. I think there's about 2 minutes left in case you have a quick question. 903-586-5257. Does anybody out there like to go to eat spicy Thai food where they have this curry sauce on it? They have the green curry, they have the yellow curry, and man, that the curry is fabulous. But that's one of the components, is turmeric. Or if you go to the store and you say, you know what, we're running low on French's mustard, well, that yellow pigment is going to come from the curcumin or the turmeric. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. You're talking on the phone and I'm talking to you.
Yeah, you're talking to me.
Okay. real quick, I know you're almost over. Sorry, I got a frog right as I'm starting to talk to you.
That's okay.
Bone spurs, and I've been doing them to where... I've been doing vinegar and apple cider vinegar and molasses. It's gone down. It was almost an inch up by the time I figured it out, and it's gone way down. But what I need real quick from you is what to look up, because I looked this up and I found out different things, cayenne pepper and different stuff. It feels like my muscles being tore a little bit when I move a certain way. What would I look up to help to find that out?
If you've got bone spurs, there's a substance made of fulvic and humic acids called shilajit. I'm going to try to spell that.
Oh, you mentioned that one time, and I have a picture of it, but I didn't know it did for that. Okay.
Yeah, and so I think it's spelled S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T, but I think you pronounce it shilajit.
Yes.
I'm not from northern Himalayan area, so that's the best I can do. But shilajit has been shown to really be good with that, and you may notice a lot of the pain near the bone spurs begins to diminish and go away with the shilajit.
It'll go away faster because it's...
Well, I don't know for sure, but all you can do is try it. But if you tell me it works like a champ, I'll believe you.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.